8:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People. My guest this afternoon is Alaska State Senator Lyman Hoffman. Senator Hoffman represents this district in the Alaska State Senate. He was first elected to the State Senate in 1991 and then again in 1995 and has held the seat ever since. Before going to the Senate, Senator Hoffman served in the State House. He was first elected to the Alaska State House in 1986. Senator Hoffman, thanks for calling in to be part of the program. I know you have a lot going on in Juneau and only a couple of days left in the current legislative session.
Yes, that is true. This is the 81st day, so we have 9 days left in the session, and we're working in the Senate on the capital budget. This year, I'm the chairman of the operating budget on the Senate side. We just received some free powers to go in and work on the differences between the operating budget and on the House side and the operating budget on the Senate side. And the operating budget total for this year is right around $8 billion.
As chair of the Senate Finance Committee and one of the members of the Operating Budget Conference Committee, this is an all-important moment for you in the legislative session. Yesterday, we heard the governor come out and criticize a $3 billion-plus capital budget in a statement released to the media. The governor said he would be meeting with some legislators about reducing the dollar amount of the budget. Has that happened yet, and has the governor been in touch with you and your office?
He has met with the Senate. The thing that we have been impressing upon people is two things. Number one, when the price of oil was low last year, we reduced the capital budget by $488 million. The budget as it stands today, the version that came out from the Senate Finance Committee, had a budget of about $504 million. You know, I think that it may go up a few million dollars, but when you take into consideration the fact that we reduced last year's budget and are basically catching up on appropriations, we're about even with spending at last year's level. So that is the first point. And the second point is that starting 3 years ago, the Senate Finance Committee started a major savings plan. People call it a savings spree. To date, we have saved over $8 billion. This year, the first thing before we started even spending the money on the operating budget and the capital budget, we said that we wanted to save another $1.5 billion. That is in the supplemental that I have responsibility for. The House has already acted upon it. Those savings are in the capital budget, and we hope to save an additional $100 to $200 million of surplus this year, and even have a healthy capital budget. But the $3 billion capital budget that the governor is speaking of, there's a couple of things that need to be said. Number one is that about $1 billion of that is federal spending, and we're going to spend that regardless. The other portion is going to be a package put together in general obligation bonds that we're not going to spend. We're going to propose to the people that they're going to be spending that. So that has to have ratification by the people of the state of Alaska. The third item that I'd like to mention is that we are in a down slump. You know, this started 4 or 5 years ago in the lower 48. This last year we've seen a big downturn in our labor statistics. So we're looking at putting money into the capital budget to turn around the job situation in the state of Alaska, as well as providing infrastructure for the state.
Well, Governor Parnell says that the state can simply not afford a capital budget of the dollar amount that you are proposing, and that the money would be spent largely to employ people from outside the state of Alaska. In a letter to constituents released this morning, you said, and I quote, "This year we are focusing on jobs for Alaskans." Where is it that the governor and you, Senator, don't see eye to eye?
Well, number one, I think we don't see eye to eye on the fact that he is not acknowledging the fact that we cut $488 million last year. You know, he said that was last year. He wasn't part of that. Well, we were a part of it, and Sarah was a part of it. So there is a gap there, and we are trying to fill that gap. I understand that the numbers have dropped considerably in employment, and we've gotten those statistics from his Department of Labor. So I think he's grasping at straws, trying to defend a much reduced capital budget. But how can you say that we can't afford this when, with the spending that we're proposing today and the earnings that we will potentially have in the constitutional budget reserve at the end of fiscal year 2011, we will have saved close to $12 billion. The state of Alaska will be in its best financial condition in its state's history. And why can't we have what I consider a healthy capital budget? And we have taken care of savings first. And, you know, I think that that we need to be concerned about the state's infrastructure and provide jobs and have a very, very, very healthy savings plan.
I agree with you, Senator Hoffman, that it takes money to make money. And if business is going to be successful and grow in Alaska, we need to invest in infrastructure projects that can allow business to operate more successfully. What are some of the infrastructure projects that are going to be included in the capital budget that will affect District 37? I know that's the House district that your Senate district overlaps with, but it's of the most interest to the listeners of this radio station.
Well, we have several projects in 37 directly to Sandpoint. There is $4 million in there to address the school loop road rehabilitation. And we have Sandpoint water improvements for $386,000. Some of the bigger ticket items, there's the King Cove Cold Bay Corridor Road Extension for $15 million. There's an airport reconstruction in Kalignik for $8.7 million. There's $5 million for the dock improvements in Naknek. There's $5 million for providing the power expansion in Unalaska. There is $2.3 million for Unalaska's upgrades in their treatment facility. Chinook Lagoon has $1.8 million for airport safety improvements. There's $700,000 in there for St. Paul's Harbor Program. Another $6 million at the airport in Cold Bay for their improvements. In Togiak, there's a snow removal equipment building. And in Dillingham, there's $400,000 for street reconstruction and rehabilitation. So there is close to $60 million in projects right now for the district.
And that's excellent. And are those projects ones that the governor and his staff are trying to get sized down or eliminated from the capital budget?
That is correct. I think he does support some of these, but many of them, you know, he said that he wanted to give us about $320 million worth of projects. And when we're all said and done, we're probably going to be adding about between $700 and $800 million. So he's going to want to reduce the budget by $400 to $500 million, and many of these projects would be eliminated. And I of the opinion that the projects that I've listed, you know, they have been requested by these communities, and if he wants to take them away from the communities, that's his decision. I'm not about to back off and say, well, no, you know, we're not going to give St. Paul its harbor program for $700,000. You know, I'm not going to say that the water improvements for Dillingham for $3 million is going to be erased. You know, the road expansion in King Cove, that's an ongoing project so that they can get the people out from Cold Bay to from King Cove to Cold Bay to address emergency health problems and bad weather and providing services. I'm not willing to take that out. So if we are not going to come to that decision, I think the legislature is going to pass this healthy capital budget and see what he wants to do with it.
And it's an election year, so likely he will go along with it. Is he playing political favorites among districts?
I don't know if he's playing political favorites among districts. I think he sincerely believes that the capital budget is too high, but I can't understand his position that says that we can't afford this this level of spending.
Well, you talk about $1.5 billion going into savings that the state has accumulated. What is that money being saved for?
Well, $1.1 billion is to go into an education fund so that it is sitting there, and school districts at the beginning of the school district will know exactly how much money they will have and will not have to send out pink slips to their teachers. But next year, in 2011, when we're down here, we'll go ahead and put forward another $1.1 billion and leave that forward funding in that pot, in that savings pot. The other $400 million is to pay off the Constitutional Budget Reserve account that we've borrowed well over $5 billion that we've borrowed, and this is the last installment to pay that back. And truthfully, when I was the co-chairman of the House Finance Committee back in 1989, when we set up this fund, and then through the 90s and beyond, we started borrowing, I never envisioned that we were going to be in a financial position to completely repay the CBR.
That's a great position to be in, and a credit to leaders like yourself. Senator Hoffman, there is a lot of concern in Bush, Alaska communities about the upcoming redistricting. How might this impact your Senate district and Alaska State House District 37, which, as I previously mentioned, falls within your Senate district?
Well, you know, 38 has been keeping up in population. 37, they say, may be down as much as 6,000 people. So in order to keep the district, we'd have to pick additional numbers up, and but they don't start in Western Alaska and down the chain. Normally they start up north, and Senator Olson's district is about 7,000 people short as well, and I think Senator Gary Stevens is about 7,000 people short. So one of the solutions that we have come up with is a constitutional amendment that would add four senators, and that would, if that passed, that would basically keep the size of our districts the same, and would give four more senators to the Valley, to Anchorage, and potentially one to Fairbanks. But we'd be able to keep our districts, which is critical. The resolution needs a two-thirds vote, and that requires getting 27 votes in the House. Senator Olson is working that, and hopefully that can happen. Whether or not that happens remains to be seen. So it is going to be, when we get reapportionment, it's going to, again, move a lot more power on from rural Alaska to urban Alaska.
Yeah, I know there's a bill. I think it's passed by the Senate. It passed the Senate, correct?
That's correct.
I'll bet by a narrow margin. And as you said, it would...
No votes to spare.
Yeah, that's what Carl Moses was telling me, your old friend in Sandpoint. The mm-hmm. The bill, of course, would, as you say, increase the size of the legislature. And you point out that it would diminish the voice that rural communities have in the state legislature. Wouldn't it be better to have some of the districts expanded so that maybe a district like 37 includes Kodiak, but we do not have any more legislators joining the legislature because, as you point out, they would likely come from places such as the Valley and areas around Anchorage?
Well, when you come up and you look at the population of Alaska, and if there's 700,000 people, you divide it by 20, the population growth in the state of Alaska has been in the Valley and up in Fairbanks and Kenai. They're going to gain at least 5 House seats. So in order for that to happen, they're going to have to take somebody's going to have to lose House seats without creating any more. So you can expand the districts, but somebody is going to, in Western Alaska, in South Central Alaska, you're not going to lose seats in Fairbanks or Anchorage or Juneau. You're going to lose them on the perimeter. We're going to have 5 less House seats. Sure, we can have a bigger district, but we're going to have less representation.
Yes, but for people in the bush, I don't want to carry on too long on this point. I mean, you've made your point excellently. But for people in the bush communities, it's better to have a larger district and fewer members from the inner cities to try to get to support bills and legislation that they want to see made into law.
Well, those arguments are going to be made if the bill gets passed. I think that it's going to be hard for the voters to say that they want a bigger government. That's the problem. I say that it's going to be a hard sell to get the bigger legislature anyway. But I just see that we're somewhere in the state of Alaska, rural Alaska, urban Alaska is going to grow by 5 representatives. And where those 5 get taken from remains to be seen, and it depends upon the reapportionment board.
Just 2 more questions. I know you are on a very tight schedule. You'll probably have a working weekend in Juneau, as you only have a few more days left in the legislative session, 9, you said at the beginning of the interview. The communities served by this radio station, KSDP, including Sandpoint and King Cove, are always concerned about the ferry schedule. And the ferry once came to Sandpoint twice per month, but never went year-round. What are the chances of increasing the number of times the ferry comes to Sandpoint each month and of expanding the schedule to be year-round?
Well, the problem is that it's very, very costly to do that. But I'm happy to report that in the supplemental that the House and the Senate have agreed upon, we've included $3.6 million to expand the services down the chain. The problem is that it's one time. Now, if the governor, it's going to be before the governor and the routes are well justified. The problem that I see is that if the governor vetoes these routes, it's going to be very, very difficult to try to get them again next year. So the people down the chain need to impress upon the governor that he needs to sign the legislation and keep the $3.6 million to add expanded services to the chain. So that's in play. The money's there for 1 year.
So how do they express to the governor that they want to keep that $3.6 million in the supplemental budget? Is it through your office, directly to the governor's office?
Directly to the governor's office, emails, telephone calls, the resolutions by communities, Chamber of Commerce, everybody and anybody and everybody, all organizations.
Final question for you, Senator Lyman Hoffman, who is joining us from Juneau on the telephone here on Meet the People on this Friday afternoon. The way in which appointments are made to the Board of Fish is a growing concern to all fishing communities in Alaska. Right now, as I understand it, these are gubernatorial appointments, and representatives and senators have some influence in the selection process. Is this the best way to select representatives to make what are often life-altering decisions for communities that depend on fishing for a way of life?
Well, you know, I've been down here for 24 years now, and there's always been debate upon how we can improve it. You know, many people have had many different ideas, but none have been able to pass the legislature. The only factor that I think the saving grace that we have is that we have the power of approving the boards of fish and the boards of game. In fact, this afternoon, we had a member that was really anti-rural on the board of game. He was appointed and served for a couple of months. And as a result of his voting record, the legislature did not approve him. So if we find someone and we make the arguments on the floor, and all rural Alaska voted against him, and he lost. We've gotten a lot of support from other urban areas, seeing the plight we're in, and we were successful. So even though we may not, this may not be the ideal solution to get it changed, I think is very, very difficult. But at least we have the, as I said, the power to reject his appointments.
Well, thank you, Senator Lyman Hoffman, for calling into the radio. Anything else that you want to add that I didn't ask?
No, I think that that should cover it. You know, I think that the only other thing that I'd like to mention is that this year we're also increasing the education budget on a three-year plan. I think we this final plan calls for another $56 million in increments to the education budget. It adds money to the base student allocation, to intensive needs, and to area cost differential. And we're following through with our commitment on a bill that we passed 3 years ago. And, you know, the education community and students have been well served by that appropriation. And I'm glad to say that I was one of the architects of that legislation.
Well, thank you so much, Senator Lyman Hoffman, and good luck in the final days of this legislative session. I hope you keep as many of those projects in the capital budget as is humanly possible.
Okay, thanks for calling, and have a great day.
Okay, thanks a lot. That is Senator Lyman Hoffman. He represents this district in the Alaska State Senate. And we'll now go to music for about a half an hour before we go to All Things Considered at 4 o'clock. I'm Kels Hetherington, and that was Meet the People. Here's Sammy Hagar singing Can't Get Loose.